I'm Jane McGonigal. I'm a game designer. I've been making games online now for 10 years, and my goal for the next decade is to try to make it as easy to save the world in real life as it is to save the world in online games. This is a gamer.
Leading American game designer Jane McGonigal is famous for her ambition to use gaming technology for the betterment of society. And if you're a long-time listener to Future Tense, you'll know that we've done quite a bit in the past on the whole notion of what's often called games for good. Now, our next guest, Patrick Meyer, has a keen interest in games, big data and humanitarian relief. He's a former director of crisis mapping at Ushahidi, and he's also a former co-director of crisis mapping and early warning for the Harvard Humanitarian Initiatives Program. And as I mentioned right at the beginning of the show, his new project is called the Internet Response League. Patrick Meyer.
Well, the idea is that humanitarian organizations are starting to face the consequences of big data because of user-generated content that gets posted on social media during disasters. So they're increasingly becoming overwhelmed with this information. And the idea behind the Internet Response League is to turn to online gamers, online games. And we know that millions participate in play these online games, and we have a feeling that they may be an active partner in potentially sifting through and filtering user-generated content online. So what the Internet Response League is looking to do is create a bridge between the gaming community and the humanitarian community.
Now, we've seen a number of projects try to harness the power of gaming for social good. A lot of enthusiasm there, but it seems as if none of those projects have really made an enormous impact, a big impact. What are the lessons that you've learned from those initiatives?
Well, you're right. There's been a mixed result of some projects, while others have been particularly successful in the sort of citizen science space. What we're doing is we're trying to build a community, first and foremost, of gamers and folks who are interested in the idea and empower them to speak and advocate for this. And one reason we think that perhaps the angle we're taking is slightly different is because we've done our homework. We've seen that in the case of, say, the World of Warcraft gaming community, this is one that has been particularly active in humanitarian response in the past, in the sense that after the earthquake and tsunami in Japan of 2011, they rallied and raised millions in support of those affected by the tsunami. The same was true during Hurricane Sandy in New York just last year. Again, these gamers coming together and rallying to raise millions of dollars for the victims of the hurricane. So there's a community there of gamers who are also aware of the outside world, of the real world, and actually want to make a difference in this real world. And we feel that if people are willing to give $5 and are aware of disasters and want to support the Red Cross and other groups, then we think they'll also donate 5 minutes of their time in a way that's even easier than giving $5. And the feedback we've gotten over the past sort of 5 months since launching this idea has been really, really positive from many different areas. And right now we're in conversation with a major gaming company who is very interested. And so we're negotiating sort of how this would work and so on. So we've got quite a bit of interest coming up.
And the unique thing about the approach that you're taking is that you're not just asking for help from gamers in an emergency situation, as you say, but you're actually going into the gamers' environment. You're in a sense bringing the disaster, or will be bringing a disaster, say, into a game environment. So it's there where they would naturally be.
That's exactly right. That is where gamers spend a lot of their time. We know that billions of hours get spent online playing these massive multiplayer games around the world. So why not meet that community at home and make it as easy as possible for them to share a bit of their time? They're avid gamers, so they're very quick online with the mouse and hitting buttons and so on. And what we're saying is, right, continue doing that. But here's a different game for you, if you'd like, quote unquote, the result of which would have direct operational consequences for humanitarian organizations, basically providing them with greater situational awareness to better understand damage assessments that need to take place very quickly.
So just to be clear then, somebody could be playing World of Warcraft, say, and a message would come up on their screen from your organisation saying there was a disaster, say, in Chile, and asking for their assistance, and then they would undertake certain tasks for you. Is that correct?
Yes, but it would be purely voluntary. And just to make it clear, just a step before that, this would be an opt-in approach. So before any disaster happens, you know, if we, with this particular gaming company that we're in talks with, that company would send out a mass sort of update before anybody logs in to their games on the login page and just let gamers know, by the way, we've just partnered with the Internet Response League in order to support humanitarian and disaster response organizations in times of need. Click here to find out more and opt in if you so choose to. So when this message comes up, say during a game, it's not intrusive in the sense that the gamer is already given permission to the gaming company to be alerted should their help be needed.
And what sort of tasks then would a gamer undertake for the Internet Response League?
Well, there are a number of tasks that we are discussing. The one that we're starting with is very straightforward. It's simply the tagging of images, of pictures taken of a disaster area. And this is because a number of humanitarian organizations that I've been in dialogue with and partnering with over the past few years are increasingly interested in user-generated content, information shared on Facebook, on Twitter, and other platforms, but in particular, multimedia content. And the reason being that this allows them to get a sense of the extent of the damage that it may have been caused during a hurricane, during an earthquake, during a tsunami, which allows them to do a very rapid, quick and dirty damage assessment. So what we've decided to lead with is pictures, is basically displaying pictures and asking gamers to rate the level of damage that they see in each picture.
And importantly, speed is an issue, isn't it, in an emergency situation? So you think by harnessing the power of all of these gamers, you can actually provide data back to an NGO or a response organization in a much more timely way?
That's absolutely right. It's because we're dealing with this high volume and velocity of data. There were over 500,000 pictures shared, Instagram pictures shared during Hurricane Sandy, for example. So a small group of 10, 20 people would have a heck of a time going through that and filtering and tagging. But you're talking about 10, 20, 30 million gamers who are online at any given time. They do this in a matter of minutes. It'd be done. So that's what we're turning to the gaming community for, is their large surge capacity that they have to support humanitarian response.
Well, Patrick Meyer from the Internet Response League, thank you very much for joining us on Future Tense.
Thanks for having me.
And from a technical perspective, the Internet Response League is almost ready to launch. But we do understand they're still in negotiations with a major games company.